Good morning, happy Sabbath. A special welcome to those who are visiting with us today. We're glad that you're here with us. And don't you wish that Pastor Miguel had a little more energy, you know, when he gives his, you know, I was falling asleep myself, but actually, he is so gifted and so excited about the Sabbath. And that is our topic for today. By the way, we are beginning a brand new study in the pastor's office. If you are a person who is just joining us, maybe thinking about becoming a Seventh-day Adventist, wanting to learn more about what it means to be a Seventh-day Adventist, I invite you to come join us every Sabbath morning at 10 a.m. We just began, and there is still a few seats open if you're interested. And now let us pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we are grateful for this gift of the Sabbath. And Lord, while the world continues to churn 24/7, day in and day out, Lord, we want to pause and stop and rest and reflect. And that's what we're doing here today, Lord. So we pray that you would guide our conversation, guide our response to your word, touch our hearts as only you can. May your spirit continue to dwell with us, is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. During the Paris Olympics in 1924, Scotsman Eric Liddell had a decision to make. See, he was the promised gold medalist for the 100 meters. He was the fastest runner that people knew in that generation, and he had prepared and he had earned respect from his countrymen from Scotland, and so he was the one who would put Scotland on the map as a medal winner. But Eric Liddell had a decision to make, because the 100-meter event to qualify would run on the Sabbath, his Sabbath. And so he decided not to run the heat. Politicians, colleagues, friends, family pressured him. Oh, you got to run just this once. Come on. We need you out there to represent our country, to run. Don't worry about the Sabbath. Just this once. He said, no, I can't. I can't violate the Sabbath. Well, as it turned out, Liddell could run another event. It was the 400 meter. Wasn't his strength, but he decided that he would participate anyway. And so in the trials, he barely made it. And his colleagues wondered if he would even get a medal. As they lined up for the race, the 400 meter, which is one lap around the track, somebody slipped a piece of paper in his hand. He looked at the paper. It says, "Those who honor me, I will honor." With a shot of the gun, Eric Liddell took off. And he had kind of a unique running style. He was running and was with everybody, but all of a sudden, he started to push out front. It was almost like he was being pushed from behind, because if you watch video, he runs with his stomach out, and he runs strange. Not aerodynamically. It's almost like God was pushing him. And so he was running, and he set a world record. Those who honor God, he will honor. Hallelujah. You know, Eric Liddell realized that all the commandments are important, even the fourth, and just as important as the others, including thou shalt not commit murder or adultery. The Bible says, if you love me, you will what? Keep my commandments. We're not saved by keeping the commandments, but if we love Jesus, we want to honor him. Very few people, after accepting Christ, really argue with the commandments. In fact, the 9 commandments, they easily embrace and say, yes, I will honor the 9 commandments. It's the fourth one that I'm thinking might be optional, maybe conditional, maybe based upon my interpretation. In fact, some people say, well, does it really matter what day that I worship? Doesn't it really matter that I actually take a break? That is most important. Kids, the word for today, Sabbath, count how many times I say the word Sabbath. And by the way, you do need to count if you want to treat. The word is Sabbath. Today we are part two in our series entitled The Rest of Your Life. And now let's be clear about the fourth commandment. It talks about Sabbath, but the Sabbath commandment was not first given at Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments, was it? No, it was not given either initially to Abraham, was it? Or to Noah at the flood, was it? Actually, it was given even before Adam and Eve with God himself. It was a reminder. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 12 says, "Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it what? Holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. For in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. But on the seventh day, he rested." It seems pretty clear cut, doesn't it? God rested after he created the world. We are to rest at the end of the week. God rested on the seventh day. We are to rest on the seventh day. In fact, if you consider Saturday in English and compare that word to other languages, you see a reference to Sabbath all the way through. Now, I know that we have a lot of linguists here. So let's throw out a couple. How about Spanish? What is the Spanish word for Saturday? Okay, so let me just make sure you're right. Yes, Sabado. Okay, I'm going to ask a tougher one. How about Arabic? Sabit? S-A-B-I-T. All right, how about in Italian? Sabato, not to be confused with gelato, okay? Now, what about in Russian? Anyone? Let's hear it again. There you go. Thank you. And in Greek? Sabbaton. So you get the theme here, right? 140 different languages all say the same kind of, have the same sound when it comes to the word Saturday. It all sounds like Sabbath. Interesting. Now, last Sabbath, we were reminded that that weekly cycle that we enjoy, the seven-day weekly cycle, has never, ever been broken. Now, certainly man has tried to tamper with the number of days within the week. We've seen some countries go from 4 days to 6 days to 10 days, trying to tamper with that weekly cycle, but nothing ever stuck. And here we are with the seven-day weekly cycle, and no one seems to question it anymore. But the fundamental question remains then, if Sabbath is the seventh day, why the confusion around the world with what is the Sabbath day? Why is Sunday so often considered the Sabbath day? Last time I looked at the calendar, the seventh day was Saturday. Even Webster's dictionary has two definitions of Sabbath as being Saturday and Sunday. Surely both can't be correct. So let's go to God's word for answers. Now, in the Bible, the most often day mentioned is Sabbath. In fact, more often than not, every other day is in reference to the Sabbath day. That is the anchor day, and all other days are referenced accordingly. So when Jesus was crucified, it was in connection to the Sabbath on which day it was. Mark chapter 15, verses 42 through 43, it was the preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath. So as evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asks for Jesus' body. So Jesus is crucified on which day? on Friday. And because the Jews want to be good Sabbath keepers, they don't want to have any Jews hanging on the cross and desecrating their Sabbath, they take Jesus down before the Sabbath begins at sundown. They take him to a tomb. Some ladies go to begin the burial preparation, but they realize the sun is setting. Luke 23:56 says, "So they went home and prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the," what? "To the commandment," the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. But after Jesus was crucified, did the biblical Sabbath somehow change? Some have suggested that perhaps the apostles, the disciples, maybe the apostle Paul, decided that we need to celebrate the resurrection of Christ and make that the holy day. Well, let's look and see what the Bible says. If we go to Acts chapter 20, verse 7, it says, "Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until" when? "Midnight." Now, this is the first day of the week, so which day of the week are we talking? This is Sunday, right? So some have suggested, well, hey, they're gathering. It's on a Sunday. They're breaking bread. Maybe that's communion. That must be a Sabbath event. But friends, actually, if we study the Bible, we look at the New Testament record, the disciples and the early Christian followers met together in homes and they continually broke bread home to home, day after day. It wasn't just a Sunday event or a Thursday event. In the upper room, Jesus had his first communion. Was that then now a holy day? No. Now, the Bible has more to say about the disciples and Sabbath keeping. Acts chapter 16, we find Paul at the river on Sabbath. Acts 16:13. "On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of" what? "Prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there." And here we have Paul with other followers having a worship service by the river. If you read a few more verses, there's a baptism because the gospel is shared. And here we have observance of Sabbath. Now, as we continue further in Acts chapter 17, we see that Paul is actually at church on Sabbath. Acts 17, verses 2 and 3. "As it was his custom, Paul went into the synagogue, and on three Sabbaths, he reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and proving that the Messiah had to suffer and rise from the dead. This Jesus I am proclaiming to you is the Messiah," he said. So here's the point. The Apostle Paul is attending church on which day? On the Sabbath. There's no real evidence here that somehow Sabbath is a different day than the Saturday that it was intended. Clearly, the Apostle Paul was never confused. It was just what it was. Now, what about Jesus himself? Was he a faithful Sabbath keeper? Luke 4, verse 16 says, "Then Jesus went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath he went as usual to the synagogue, to the church. He stood up to read the scriptures." Jesus was a Sabbath keeper. Nowhere did Jesus ever suggest that there was a day change with Sabbath. Now you think about it. The issue of Christ coming to this world, when it comes to Sabbath, was never a debate about which day was the Sabbath. The Pharisees were very critical of Jesus. They're always looking at how he broke the Sabbath, but they never, ever, ever suggested that the day was in question. It was always how Jesus treated the day. what he did. And what did he do? He healed. He helped people. It is a day for holy service. And so Jesus responded to their accusations of breaking the Sabbath with, "The Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath." So does it make sense that the one who invented Sabbath, God, Jesus, the one who invented it, the one who created it to begin with at the beginning of the world, the one who reminded the people of Sinai with the Ten Commandments, the one who kept the Sabbath, and the one who had followers afterwards who kept the Sabbath, would somehow change the day later? That doesn't make any sense. In fact, there's a scripture that says that Jesus, God, does not change. Now you think about the beautiful things that have happened in the Bible. The beautiful things that took place. And what was it that happened on Friday? Pastor Miguel and I had a chance to go to the garden tomb and to see the burial site. I've been there before. And this is the quintessential act of love, that Jesus would die for us, that he would rise again. So this event on the cross took place on which day? On Friday. Jesus died on the cross on Friday. He gave us the greatest gift of love on Friday. Logically, you would think, you know what? Let's remember this act that happened on Friday and make it a holy day. That's how we humans think, right? Let's memorialize it. Let's celebrate it every Friday. Because, you know, without the crucifixion, without the death of Christ, we have no hope. But yet, as far as I know, none of us really celebrate Friday, do we? I mean, anybody here celebrate Friday? Okay, one over here. Now, in certain faiths, Friday is a very special day. But in the Christian faith, it is not. Well, what about the resurrection? The resurrection of Christ happened on which day? On Sunday. And this was something that began to permeate in the minds of early Christians. Yeah. Without the resurrection, we'd have no hope. And Sunday became a parallel day with Sabbath, a day of reflection, a day to remember, a day to treat special. But in the absence of biblical evidence from what we've looked at with texts, and there are many others, we can't really find a strong smoking gun evidence that, in fact, Sabbath was changed to Sunday. So then the question remains, why? How did we end up with most of the Christian world honoring Sunday as Sabbath? Well, let's look at the early history of the Christian church. See, after Jesus died, he spent 40 days on earth, and then he ascended to heaven, and then in the next 200 years, the early church was born. There were many converts. The church grew. And what had happened was the Roman Empire began to view the Jews and the Christians as the same group of people because they both shared one thing in common. They both did what? They both kept the Sabbath. It's just that the Jews rejected Christ. So the Romans would blame the Christians and the Jews for anything bad that would happen. The emperors would use them as a convenient scapegoat, and they would persecute them, torture them, throw them to the lions, and we've heard the stories. Along the way, the Christians began to think, I wonder if there's a way we can distinguish ourselves from the Jews because we're always getting blamed for what they do. Then in 312 AD, the persecution stopped literally overnight. Emperor Constantine publicly said that he was now a what? A Christian. His conversion happened just before a mighty battle where he received a vision, so he says, that suggested that he paint a cross on his shields. All of the army should have a cross. And the voice from heaven, he says, said that if you put this cross and superimpose it upon the sun, in this sign you will conquer. And so, that night, they were busy dabbing their shields. And history shows that the next day, there was victory. Emperor Constantine took it as a sign that he should incorporate Christianity in his kingdom. And so he began to make changes. Now, some have suggested that Constantine's conversion was a farce, because he actually was not baptized till his deathbed. And he also surrounded himself with pagan advisors even after his so-called conversion. However, he issued an interesting edict 9 years after his conversion in 321 AD that has to do with Sunday worship. Quote, "On the venerable day of the sun, let the magistrates and people residing in cities do what?
Rest.
On the day of the sun, let the people rest. And let all the workshops be what? Closed. In the country, however, persons engaged in agriculture may freely and lawfully continue their pursuits." And here we have the first legislative edict from a government mandating worship and observance of a particular day, in this case, Sunday, and also mandating that shops be closed. Constantine strategically aligned the Sunday sun worshipers with the more popular growing Christian Resurrection Day worshipers into one convenient day. A few years later, Sunday Sabbath was strengthened with a church edict in 364 AD. "Christians shall not Judaize and be idle on Saturday, but work shall on that day, but not work on that day. But the Lord's day they shall especially honor." Let me read that again. "Christians shall not Judaize and be idle on Saturday, but shall work on that day. But the Lord's day, which they're saying is Sunday, they shall especially honor, and as being Christians, shall, if possible, do no work on that day. If, however, they are found Judaizing, they shall be shut out from Christ." Many of the Gentile and Jewish converts who became Christians like the idea of being distinguished from the Jews. And so Sunday worship grew stronger and stronger with state sponsorship, and now with churches promoting it and embracing it, it became stronger and stronger. And through the centuries, more edicts were issued surrounding Sunday Sabbath. In fact, the Universal Christian Church at the time, the Catholic Church, the one church, actually takes credit for this change and for owning this particular day of worship. Now, I just want to stop and pause here. This message is not about bashing any denomination. If you are a practicing Catholic, you're here because you love Jesus. Amen. But I do want to give the history for all of us to know that that's how we arrived where we are today. Now, in their catechism, which is the booklet for Catholics to understand their doctrine from, in this booklet, there is a question and answer section, and there is these questions which I want to read to you. Which is the Sabbath day in the Catholic catechism? Saturday is the Sabbath day. Why do we observe Sunday instead of Saturday? Answer: we observe Sunday instead of Saturday because the Catholic Church transferred the solemnity from Saturday to Sunday. Pretty clear cut. In January of this year, January 30th of this year, the Poland government announced a change. The president said, President Andrzej Duda signed into law a bill limiting shopping on Sundays. The bill says that beginning this year, only two Sundays will be available for shopping. Next year, only one Sunday per month will be available. And in 2020, you will not be able to shop on Sunday in Poland. Now, 90% of the population in Poland is of the Catholic faith. But you can see how government tied into religion is not a good idea. And the mandating of rest and worship is not biblical. When we start to realize that there are forces out there that are trying to control our freedom to obey God rather than man, then we realize that there is more at stake than what meets the eye. It's one thing to know what day is Sabbath. It's another thing to be willing to honor it and keep it, even if it's inconvenient or might cost you something. Now, when a modern Christian discovers what the true Sabbath is, he's likely to be, or she's likely to be, assaulted or barraged with a bunch of questions or discouraging statements. There was a man who worked at a large grocery chain in the Midwest, and he discovered that Saturday is the day. That is the Sabbath. He was excited, so he ran to his employer and he shared, "You know what, I'm not going to be able to work on Saturday anymore. I need to honor Sabbath, so I will be working Sunday if you'd like, but not Saturday." The employer was frustrated, but honored it. But the colleagues, his friends, his co-workers began to come at him. And the first verse that came to him was Romans 14:5. One person regards one day above another. Another regards every day alike. Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. That almost sounds like you need to be fully convinced in your own mind. Almost like you just need to know what the truth is. And so the man said, "Well, I am fully convinced. I've done a study and I've discovered that Sabbath is the original Sabbath, and it remains so." Seeing his colleague's failure, another co-worker approached the new Sabbath keeper and said, "It doesn't really mean that you have to keep Saturday. What the Bible is trying to say is that you just need to rest every 7 days. Just choose a day." He said, "Well, I do choose a day, and I choose the one that God said to choose." "That seems kind of arbitrary," the man says. "Well, so was the tree in the garden, wasn't it? The forbidden tree." And the next co-worker told him that, "Well, in the New Testament, there is actually no specific set day aside for worship. You need to keep every day holy. You need to be right with Jesus every day. You need to honor him and rest every day." And the man said, "Really? I need to keep every day holy? I need to rest every day? If I did that, then I would be lazy. I mean, we do have to work, right? We have to work every day. But one day we should take off." Another worker told him that Sabbath was only for the Jews. But the Sabbath keeper said, "Well, then why did Jesus say the Sabbath was made for man? I didn't know that Adam was a Jew." One night during a Bible prophecy series, the evangelist was presenting the Sabbath truth. And a Sunday minister stood up and said, "You are preaching and teaching legalism." And the evangelist said, "Well, Are you suggesting that we should not be obeying the Ten Commandments? And the Sunday minister said, well, no, you shouldn't. Well, yes, okay, yes, you should obey nine of them. Nine of them. And forget about the other one. So the evangelist said, you mean forget about the one that God said, remember the seventh day to keep it holy? Some Christians sincerely believe that the whole law was nailed to the cross. They believe that that includes Sabbath keeping. That somehow we are not obligated, we're not under the obligation of obedience. Colossians 2 is the scripture they go to. Let's go there. Colossians 2, 14, 16, and 17. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. So let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or in a new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Now, when we read these scriptures, at first glance, it looks as though something has been nailed to the cross, which would suggest it's done. But actually, let's dig a little deeper on these verses here. There are two primary laws given in Scripture. There is the moral law and the ceremonial law. Now, the moral law is the Ten Commandments, how we treat God and how we treat people. We know that those are essential for our society to function. Then there's the ceremonial laws. And these laws have to do with the Levitical rules that Moses wrote down. Now, you think about it, the moral law was written by whom? God with his finger etched in stone. He wrote from right to left, by the way. Hebrew. But the Levitical laws were written by who? Man, Moses, right? He was writing it on parchment, on scrolls, on paper. The laws that were written in stone, how could you be able to nail a stone to the cross? Anyway, those are permanent. Those are God's character. They tell us of God's love. The laws of ordinances, the Levitical laws, have to do with the sacrificial system. And so what we have is an explanation in Leviticus, particularly, about how to slaughter an animal and to bring the animal to a priest and for that animal to die for your sins. But those sacrifices were pointing to who? To the ultimate Lamb of God, Jesus. So when Jesus came and John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, and Jesus died on the cross. Amen. He became the ultimate lamb for you and me. Amen. And therefore, there is no more need to slaughter animals. And that was what was nailed to the cross. It's true. But the Ten Commandments are for our own good. And they are God's character, written in 10 ways. Friends, there is no place in Scripture that would suggest that God changed the day of Sabbath to Sunday. And God does not change. Malachi 3:6 says, I am the Lord, I change not. God does not make mistakes either. Well, you know what? I started Sabbath here on Saturday, but you know what? Now that I think about it, I need to change it. God doesn't do that. He is God. Jesus says, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the question then is, what will you do? In the life that we have here, who will you obey? man, traditions, culture, denominations, great arguments, or will you obey God and His word? Those who honor Him, He will honor. 40-year-old Franz Hassel was drafted into the German army. He was an older soldier, but Germany was going to war. And they wanted an elite group of troops that they could use to invade Poland and Russia and build bridges. And so Franz Hassel was drafted. He was a pacifist. He was a Sabbath keeper, but that didn't stop the fact that they needed him. Upon reporting for duty, he told his lieutenant, "Sir, I'm here to serve my country, but you need to know a couple things. I'm a Sabbath keeper. I will not work or fight on Sabbath. I'm a vegetarian as well." The lieutenant says, "Excuse me, this is the German army and we will fight. Who do you think you are?" And then under his breath, he said, "How did I end up with a religious nut?" As preparations were made, the war began. Now, because he was a pacifist, he also did not bear arms. However, he had an amazing skill. He was a marksman as a hobby. But he did not want to be called upon for that skill, and so secretly he carved a weapon made from what? Wood. And he kept it in his holster, a fake gun, which he had the entire war. Had they discovered that he had a fake gun, he would have been executed on the spot. As he served in the army, somehow he was able to keep the Sabbath. In fact, God would allow things to happen. Maybe torrential rains would fall all night on Friday night, and hence too much mud to advance on Saturday. Different things, different stories, different ways, God was honoring his commitment to keep Sabbath. One of his jobs was to go ahead of the army to the next town, the town that they were going to invade, and find out what they had for food and confiscate some of that food for the army. But then he would warn the Jews to flee. If they'd found out, they would have executed him. At one point, the war was getting more desperate. And his lieutenant said, "Sir, we are fighting tomorrow and it is Saturday, your Sabbath, whatever, you will fight." And Hans says, "I will not." He said, "You know what? You're going to be dishonorably discharged. You're going to be court-martialed. You're going to pay for this defiance." As the war drew down, Germany realized that they were going to lose. And so his unit, which had 1,200 men, had been reduced significantly. They decided it would be better to surrender to the Americans than to the Russians. And so they began to retreat. They got to the Americans, fortunately. And he was put into an American prison camp. And while in prison, he was confronted. The American colonel asked him, "What is this I see on your record that says that you are going to be court-martialed by the German government?" "Well, sir, I'm a Sabbath keeper, and I have tried to honor the Sabbath the entire war." "What? You're a Sabbath keeper? And you have honored the Sabbath? You know, I'm a Jew myself, and I have not been able to honor the Sabbath because I was not as convicted as you." As it turns out, Hans was one of only 7 survivors of his 1,200-man unit. Those who honor God He will honor. I wonder, when it comes to the Sabbath, when it comes to honoring Jesus and his creation of the Sabbath, of what it represents in rest in him for our salvation, in the fact that it is a literal 24-hour day set aside for our rest, I wonder if we are willing to recommit ourselves to honoring his day. Even if there's a cost, even if it's not convenient, even if you lose your job, even if you could lose your life. I wonder, because friends, there may be a time coming when that is exactly what's facing you. If it's your desire to honor Jesus by honoring the Sabbath, then I pray that you would close your eyes with me as we pray and make that commitment. Lord Jesus, we are a people of the Word of God. We are a people, Lord, that seek to obey you, not for our salvation, but because we love you. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would convict in our hearts how we can honor your fourth commandment and honor your Sabbath. Lord Jesus, there are some here that perhaps this is the first time they've heard this concept of Saturday being Sabbath. I pray for them. I pray that they would receive this truth. Lord, some of us have maybe got laxed about how we keep the Sabbath. I pray for them. And Lord, some of us are faithful Sabbath keepers, and I pray affirmations upon them. Lord, wherever we are, I pray that your Sabbath truth would reign in our hearts and realize that this is the perfect institution that you had in the Garden of Eden, and it will be, quite possibly, the final debate at the end of time. Lord, may we be faithful. May we be your witnesses, regardless of the cost, is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.